Parashat Va'era begins with the most incredible story, the story of the 10 plagues. In the parasha, we have 7 of the 10 plagues. And let's go through the story. How did it work? At the end of Shemot, Paro said to the Jewish people that he's going to make life much more difficult. Now that they had a person like Moshe and Aaron trying to free them, he said that you've obviously got a lot of spare time on your hands, and up to now I've been providing the brickwork. From now on, you've got to still fill the same quota, but now you've got to actually make the bricks. The people were slaves and working really, really hard, and were actually upset because they understood that Moshe and Aaron had come to help redeem them. They understood that God had spoken to Moshe, and now everything was getting worse. And so Moshe returns to God Almighty, and he lets out a prayer, and he asks God, why have you sent me? I wasn't the right person. Maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe I wasn't supposed to go. I did mention to you that I'm not the right person for the job. And obviously, I was right because, look, life has become much harder for the Bnei Yisrael. Parshat Va'era begins with God's response. And God responds to Moshe and he tells him, I am Hashem. I'm merciful. And even when my actions appear harsh, they emanate from mercy. And he gives him a bit of a lesson and he says, your forefathers, Abraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, I appeared to them and they never complained. And the Midrash says, he gives examples, I assured Abraham that he was going to inherit the whole of Eretz Yisrael. And Abraham came back from the Akedah, from offering his son up, Yitzhak, as a sacrifice. And he came back to his wife, Sarah, and his wife had passed away. And then it hit him. He needed to find a place to bury his wife. God had promised him the entire land of Israel, and he didn't even own a piece of land to bury his wife. He then had to buy. But did he question God? No. I promised, says God, I promised Yitzchak, dwell in this land and I shall be with you. And then when Yitzchak needed drinking water, the shepherds of Gerar disputed his right to the well, and nevertheless, Yitzchak did not voice a single complaint. And to Yaakov, Yaakov was promised, the land on which you lie, I will give you and your seed. But when he wanted to erect his tent, he had to buy a field for 100 kisita, the Torah tells us. And still, he had no second thoughts, and he didn't question God at all. God is teaching Moshe at the beginning of his role as a messenger to the people never to question God and to increase his level of emunah. At the same time, God tells him, go back, don't worry, it's going to take time, but go and proclaim that I will surely redeem them, and tell them 4 different languages of Exodus. Vehotzeti, I shall lead you out of Egyptian bondage. Vehitzalti, I will deliver you from any type of service, even the easiest work. Vegaalti, I'm going to redeem you without ransom. Normally a person, you want to get a prisoner out, you got to pay ransom. Here, there's going to be no ransom. Velakachti, and I will take you as my people by giving you my Torah. You're going to stop the slavery. We're going to stop the hard slavery, the easy slavery, and I'm not going to redeem you with any money, and I'm going to give you my Torah. And the 5th actual wording that God uses, Veheveti, and I'm going to bring you to the land of Israel. God is giving 5 different promises as to what is about to happen. So Moshe and Aharon make their way back to the palace, and they are ready to perform in front of Paro these incredible miracles. So Moshe comes to Paro and he says, let my people go. I'm the messenger of God Almighty, and it's time to let the Jewish people go. Obviously, Paro thinks it's a joke. This is a joke. I've got the best workers in town over here. They're my slaves. They're working for free. They've been here for 210 years. The Egyptian empire depends on them. I'm not going to let any of them know. And not only that, he commanded his guards that whenever this Moshe or Aaron come, that they shouldn't allow them through. But Moshe and Aaron miraculously get through and are standing in front of Paro. And Moshe starts to do what God told him to do, the first sign. He throws in front of Paro his stick, and it turns into a snake. Paro laughs at Moshe. Are you trying to basically sell merchandise, magic and sorcery in the center of sorcery? Egypt was a center of sorcery in the entire world. You don't go to a place that is known for the best for vegetables, a vegetable market, and try and sell little vegetables over there. It's the wrong place to be selling this. He mocked him and he got his wife and his children and other people to do exactly the same thing. And the courtyard was filled with writhing snakes. But Moshe said, actually, that is precisely why Hashem sent me here. If someone has got good vegetables to sell, he takes them to a market where the buyers are experts and will appreciate them. You're about to see how great God is. God is greater than all your sorcerers. So eventually, Paro said, okay, if you are so great, let's see if your stick, once it turned back, then he put his hand down and the snake reached for the snake and the snake turned back into a stick. He said, let's see if your stick can eat up all the other sticks. And it did, as a stick. And now Paro was a bit worried. But nevertheless, he hardened his own heart and he said, I'm not going to let the Jewish people go. We see this idea of hardening the heart of Paro. Kaved, he made it hard on a constant basis. And Rav Dessler explains that Paro's hardening of his heart was not a decree on Hashem's part. Rather, it was a natural consequence of his continued sinning. Our sages tell us that one who is willing to purify himself is assisted from above. God helps him. And one who intends to defile himself is given the opportunity to do so. Wherever a person wants to go, God enables them to go. You have the free choice in life. You can go either way. If you want to do good and you really want to, God will open you the doors. If you want to do bad, He'll open you the doors. We can choose. A sin committed once evokes regret. Person sins for the first time, oh, I'm so a bit regretful. A sin committed twice, well, eventually it seems like it's permissible. And a sin committed three times, says Rav Yisrael Salanter, becomes a virtue in the eyes of the sinner. And this is Paro. Paro barred his own way to Teshuvah because by persisting in his sinful path, he became progressively insensitive to the truth, and that's what the meaning means of his hardening his heart. Moshe warns Paro that the river Nile will turn into blood, and there's a debate. Every plague, there was 3 weeks of warning and 1 week of the plague. Another opinion is it was the other way around. 1 week of warning and 3 weeks of the plague. But either way, there was this warning. And he warns him that it's going to turn into blood. And that is exactly what happened. Why was the River Nile smitten with blood? Well, they were killing the Jewish babies in the River Nile. They didn't allow the Jewish ladies to go and dip and do mikveh in the River Nile. And therefore, the river, plus the idea that Paro used to go and bathe himself in the River Nile, he needed to actually go to the toilet, and as a god, he considered him as a god, and nobody ever should see him going to the toilet. So he actually did it when he went to the River Nile, and he claimed that he was in charge of the River Nile. The entire river becomes blood, and the fish die, and where now the Egyptians need to drink, and they can't drink. And the only way they were able to survive was to go to Goshen, where the Jewish people were living, and they asked the Jewish people for water. The Jews had water, they gave them the water, turned also into blood, until eventually they realized they need to buy the water from them. When they paid for the water stayed as water. The first 3 plagues were brought about by Aharon. The first was to do with the River Nile, and Moshe didn't want to hit the River Nile because he had been saved by the River Nile, so Aharon went ahead and hit the River Nile. The second plague of frogs was also brought about by Aharon, and he smit the river, and out came a massive frog. The frogs, some say only one massive frog came out, and then Egyptians started hitting it, and then it split into many different frogs. The frogs let out a massive croak, And it was a crazy, crazy sound across the whole of Egypt. People couldn't bear it. They went into the palace. They went into the houses. They went into the beds. They went into people. They went all over the place. And eventually, Paro couldn't hear himself. And it lasted, as we mentioned earlier, for a whole week. Paro asked the magicians if they could do the same. And they also produced frogs, like they had also produced and made water into blood. And he said, okay, everyone can do this. But please, he said to Moshe, entreat on Hashem and he should remove the frogs from my people. Moshe wanted to prove that God is in charge and he said, when shall I do it? And Paro wanted to play poker with him. So he said, okay, obviously Moshe realizes that he wants me to do it now. I'm going to tell him to do it tomorrow. Let's see. And he said, do it tomorrow. Even though Paro would suffer more, he said, do it tomorrow. And Moshe proclaimed, you should know that there is none like Hashem, our God, and that's what's going to happen tomorrow. They're going to go. They're going to die. And the next day, all the frogs died. The Egyptians had to get rid of the frogs themselves. And the third plague, Kinim, lice, occurred without any warning. The previous two had been preceded by warnings, but the third, there was no warning. Tell Aaron to stretch out his staff and smite the dust of Egypt so that it may become lice. Paro asked his magicians if they could also produce this, and this they were not able to produce. Magic has no power over an object smaller than a barley corn, they said, and we are forced to admit that this plague results from the finger of God. They didn't say the hand, but they said the finger of God. This was the beginning, as we can see slowly, slowly, it's cracking away at the Egyptian stubbornness. The fourth plague was preceded by a warning. Moshe goes to the River Nile to meet Paro and he says to him, if you don't let my people go, then you're going to have a mixture of wild beasts, serpents and scorpions upon your land. And you will know that I am God who exercises his providence in the midst of the land. The beasts roared and trampled on everything and bit people. The flies and mosquitoes swarmed into their eyes and ears. The beasts were invading Paro's palace. Paro eventually called Moshe and Aaron and he said, go, you may sacrifice to your God in this land, but I cannot let you go into the wilderness. And Moshe replied, we can't do that. Our sacrifices are the sheep which the Egyptians worship. They are not going to allow us to do that. We need to go out. Paro said, okay, go and sacrifice to your God, but don't go far away. Please pray and remove the wild beasts. Moshe prayed to God and the wild beasts were removed, but Paro hardened his heart again. The fifth plague was pestilence. It struck the animals, but also the riders as well, whereas the Jewish animals were unharmed. The sixth plague was boils and the shechin. Moshe was commanded with Aaron to each take two handfuls of soot from a furnace. Aaron had to give his two fistfuls of soot to Moshe, and then Moshe had to throw them up into the sky, and Hashem converted it into leprous boils, which descended upon the Egyptians and the animals and smit them. Paro's magicians were stricken so severely with boils that they were unable to even stand in front of Moshe and Aaron. Again, Paro summoned Moshe and Aaron, begging them to terminate the plague. But once the boils disappeared, Paro didn't keep his promises. The final plague of the seven that I mentioned in Va'era is hails. Hails were a combination of fire and water. Normally, fire and water cannot coexist. But for the plague, they coexisted and they rained down on Egypt. God was showing the world that he was fully in control. And this was part of breaking Paro. Sometimes in life, we think that we are in control. We think we have it all. But we just need to look around. We need to understand. Look back at the story of Egypt and learn from the story that God is in control under the earth, on the earth, and above the earth. That is a great lesson for life.